You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
I want to talk about something we've often discussed on the programme, and that is the influence of technology on our lives. But my next guest is suggesting that some of us are spending maybe 40 hours a week on our smartphones and that we're in need of a digital disconnect, as he describes it, to stop getting ill. You'll know Michael O'Doherty, you're an ant bioenergy therapist. He helped Lord of the Dance star Michael Flatley overcome a mystery illness, but now says that we are creating havoc with the energy systems of our bodies if we're spending so much time on our phones. Michael O'Doherty, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Not a problem.
Talk to me about... I'm not an expert with regards to energy or bioenergy, so you're going to have to hold my hand through this one.
Absolutely.
But how does my time or anybody's time on a smartphone impact the body as you see it?
Yeah, I think that nowadays what I see coming into my clinic, Gavin, are parents with children who have so-called unexplained symptoms. And those symptoms range from chronic fatigue to insomnia to digestive problems, lacking concentration and focus, having to withdraw from college and so on. Presenting to doctor, surgeries, all of the medical tests been done, nothing happened. And everything is fine. And so suddenly now there is this situation where parents are wondering what's happening. And part of the assessment in my own clinic that I carry out with these children in particular is the first question I ask them, how long are they spending on their mobile phone? Mm. And then what happens is there's a pause. And then the mother or the father, whoever is with them, will say, well, now that's a whole different story completely. You know, they're never off the phone or they're never off their digital devices. And suddenly you begin to realize and you say, well, look, how long are you spending on these devices? And they're saying, well, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. And suddenly you look at the phone and you see now that these children are sick or they have problems and they have all these symptoms, they're spending most of their day on the phone. So at the very least, we're seeing in our clinical environment that children coming in with different issues, and indeed adults, they're spending a minimum of 4 hours on the phone. And the implications of that and our behaviour, Gavin, is having detrimental effects on our children.
The iPhone, following a recent update, has started giving reports of your average daily screen use, and it is stark because a few minutes here and there and a call here and an email there and so on and so forth, it very quickly adds up.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take much to get to that 4 hours a day or even beyond that, I would have thought, for many people. So that's why this isn't unusual. I would have thought, though, when you were talking about the symptoms with regards to, for example, poor concentration or poor sleep, is that really a medical issue, I suppose?
Well, see, they are medical issues, and you're right. They're medical issues, but there's no clinical signals that would cause them, as in they would do the blood test, you see, Gavin, and everything would show up fine.
Yeah.
And why are these unexplained symptoms now, we're calling them?
But what I mean is the cure not put down the phone and cup on.
You see, unfortunately, they have become addicted. The Centre for Collegiate Studies have found that the top three diagnoses in college, for example, is stress, anxiety and depression. They're directly associating this with social media activity. We know now, yesterday, for example, we have seen that Instagram are removing certain graphics and images, you know, from their
because
of the deaths of young children. We know that 40% of children in colleges and school, 40% have been at some stage exposed to bullying. And we know then that 80% actually witnessed this bullying. So what we're seeing is that technology certainly has lots of positives. But what we're finding is that, you know, 90% of American 2-year-olds use devices. Okay, this was done by the Kaiser Foundation, who are responsible for creating health policy, looking at statistical evidence around the effects and use of these appliances. And what we're seeing is that we're giving these devices to children, and these devices are becoming the soothing way to deal with, you know, stress, anxiety, or whatever the case may be. And overexposure of stressful images, overexposure of stressful situations emerging from these phones and these IT platforms are contributing to huge amounts of stress and anxiety in children, and parents don't know how to handle it.
So is the problem what is being looked at? Is the problem the nature of the material, or is the problem simply spending so long on the phone in the first place? If you're there chatting with your friends, playing a game, having a quote-unquote good time, is that all right?
The thing is that it has to be acted on responsibly, and the it's a combination of all things. What draws our attention to the phone? When I suppose it's the way modern society, Gavin, is structured. You know, both parents have to go to work. They're trying to make ends meet. The child, not short, a few months after it's born, is now put in into a childminder, then eventually onto creche. So there's that initial disconnect, you know, in our society, in family situations, because of pressure to literally make ends meet. And that then, of course, leads on to where now children are being developed by their peers more than their parents, that there is this disconnect that is starting at that age. And these digital devices contribute to that environment. So the development of our children is influenced by what they're seeing and what they're being exposed to in these devices.
Their interpersonal skills mightn't be as strong, basically.
They're not
comfortable with people, basically.
100%. You know, I mean, you go down that street here in Ennis today and you'll see mothers pushing their pushchairs up the street and children, you know, with their mobile phones. You go into any restaurant in Ennis today and you'll see people eating, you know, and have their mobile phone in their hand. And I think that the time has come when we need to just realise that while we're being exposed to on social media, our time that we're spending, what, you know, that we're allowing ourselves and the development of our children to be dictated to by the peers, by what they're being exposed to. And, you know, young children are being put under pressure by these Snapchatters and all of these types of things that are forcing them that they have to buy this and to buy that and to fit into certain groups. And there's this disconnect from children, particularly when they're growing up. They need to have the parental connection. You know, we are social creatures and we need that social connection, and there is no better way to do it than having that personal social or that personal connection.
Take me back to the very start of this interview. The typical young adult, as I presume they are, or teenager that comes into you with their parents, spending all of their time on the phones, you diagnose, quote unquote, this, you realise this is the problem. Can they fix it?
They can fix it, Gavin. And the key thing here is time. Because when I said to parents, well, look, it might take 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. And it might require even counselling. You know, I work with Pradeep Chadha, who's a consultant psychiatrist, and sometimes we sit down and discuss this, and sometimes it requires counselling. And I believe as time goes on, these children are going to need addiction counselling, you know, to try and to digitally detox, as we would say. And the key here is that, you know, when parents say to me, or the children say to me, well, I don't have the time to make the changes with now to regard to my diet, to take time to get out in nature, to do some walks, to sit down as a family and chat. And I will say to them, okay, give me a look at your phone. You're spending 4 hours a day. I'm going to give you 2 hours back. Have your 2 hours on the phone, but here's what you do. Split it. Have a half hour morning, you know, midday, afternoon, evening.
But how do you... I know you can monitor that after the fact, but how does the individual person curtail the use of the phone? If they're addicted, as you said.
Depending on if they're addicted and the support we need, but the parents have to take a central role. That is critical. You know, Gabor Mate, who is a physician, has written largely about this, you know, amazing guy, you know, and he's talking about reclaiming the lost ground, reclaiming our children, that what parents need to take a central role. We're allowing...
So take the phone off your child?
No, I wouldn't take the phone off, and that's a very valid point, because sometimes when you take the phone off a child, it's deemed...
Even for parts of the day, I suppose.
I think you sit down and you form a strategy, but it's a valid point what you're making. If you take something off of a person that's addicted to it, they're going to feel... No, well, actually, they're going to feel like it's a punishment. And then it doesn't work. So they develop rage and they suppress that rage. And that in itself leads to issues. So I think what is needed and what we do in my clinical environment is that we sit the parents down and we draft a strategy. So what is the strategy? We involve the child and the rest of the family in the strategy. So the parents and other siblings in the house have to sit down and say, okay, instead of spending 2 hours on the phone, we spend an hour. Instead of at mealtimes, for example. So we see now the chief medical officer Sally Davis in the UK saying that children and people shouldn't bring their mobile phones to the table when they're eating, and they shouldn't have these devices before they sleep at night. Some of these kids are sleeping with their phones and under their pillow. You know, they have no concept of time, and they're waking up in the morning and they're not able to concentrate, not able to get up for school. And unless we, you know, shut off the Wi-Fi at night time, you know, take those digital devices, all of the family, put it downstairs or in a basket, you know, remove them from the, even those two things, just to take them away when people are eating and to shut them down at 8 o'clock at night. Just simple little, a simple strategy can really, really help a lot of these. But, you know, we have young children whose brains are being developed based on what they're experiencing on these devices.
How concerned are you about all of this?
Oh, it's a huge concern, and it's not just me. I think that we see massive...
We've heard this before. Yeah. Like, we've heard a lot of this before. I suppose, in terms of what you're saying about the impact on people's lives, you would see some of the worst cases, I would have thought, by virtue of the fact that they've come to you looking for help.
Gavin, can I, for example, I'll give you a little scenario. You know, if you take a child, and I've come across this in my environment, a child maybe of 8 or 10 year olds, a 10 year old, maybe 12 year old, has looked at something on social media, okay, and says, well, you know, maybe it is the loss of a mother. Okay, so I'm giving you a real example that I encountered, okay? So now this was a young guy. So now he becomes afraid that his mother's, this young child's mother had died of cancer, okay? Mother had died of cancer, I think. So now what happens is this young child takes this on board. He thinks now his mother is going to die of some serious disease. Now he develops anxiousness around this. Doesn't know how to communicate with his parents. His parents, he does a change in his behavior and attitude and so on. He doesn't know how to express his concern. So he develops this anxiety. This affects him at home. It affects him at school and so on and so forth. So he goes now to his GP. GP assesses him. Everything seems fine. Seems down, seems stressed, depressed. And now what are we going to do? Are we going to give medication to try and deal with the anxiety? But we need to go back and look at what initiated this perception of this child's life.
And kids will often get those fears.
Absolutely.
But what you're saying is that because the disconnect, because they're connected to the screen more to the person, they don't talk about the fears. That's the problem.
Absolutely. Families need to have family days out, family times out. Sit down. Can you imagine this? You know, parents are going for a long journey in a car. The parents in the front, and in the back, there's three children, or two, or whatever. And in the back seat, what are these kids looking at? They're looking at these screens. Now, apart from the screen damage, and apart from the health damage of so-called radiation, but apart from the screen damage, which we know affects dopamine receptors, the reward receptors in the brain, apart from that, you know, we're seeing that we don't know what types of information that these kids are being exposed to. And I often say to, I often say to parents, and this is the critical question, Gavin. At what point in a child's development do we deem it necessary to give them these devices? Would you as a parent expose your child to graphics of suicide, to images of a sexual nature? Would you give alcohol to your two-year-old? Would you engage your child in conversation around sexuality as a five-year-old? What these devices are, they are not mobile phones. And I was talking to college students, over 2,000 students recently, as part of a mental health program. And I was talking to them and I showed them what a mobile phone was. This is a phone that takes calls and messages. These IT platforms, to me, are weapons of mass destruction. They are creating huge problems for people, and unless we bring some form of guideline in, and the only way we're going to bring in proper guidelines is when we answer that first question. At what point, I'm asking parents, do you deem it necessary to bring these devices into your child's development? And if it's not controlled by the parents, and the parents are not centrally controlling this issue, we are heading for serious addictive problems down the road.
Really quickly, what point should that be? Should you keep a child away from a device like this until age 10, 12?
Now all of the evidence is pointing towards 12. These children should not be exposed to these devices.
So not even using them.
There are certain tools that are certainly of benefit to children who have learning and behavioural difficulties. But I think we can find platforms where children can be exposed to these types of learning tools without being exposed to other apps and things like that. And there is something like screen time, for example, as you know, Gavin, that parents can use to control that. But what I'm saying to parents, take back control. We are heading for a very serious addictive crisis in our society in the future.
My mind? The parents need to set the example. And you talked about no phones at the tables. Mum and dad can't do it if Junior can't either. So that's where it has to go.
Absolutely.
In 20 seconds, please, because he's been in touch. Completely different matter. John's in Ennis. He's a senior citizen. He goes to sleep at night, sleeps for 3 hours, wakes up, can't get back to sleep. Any quick advice for him?
Oh, look, if you take his number, I'll call him. John, if you want to give his number, I'll give him a call. I'll have a chat to him and see exactly what's going on. And obviously, he has to make sure that there's nothing medically causing that problem as well.
Michael O'Doherty.
Thanks Gavin. Very much appreciated.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.